This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. Great to see you again. Well, we've been into the shearing. We've had a little run of good weather, so we've got on with it. And the it's funny. Whenever we're in the between half done, half not done, it's just really interesting to see their behaviour and see what they do. Some of the fleece look at me suspiciously. Perhaps I'm just imagining this. No, I don't think so. But the ones who've been sheared, mostly they're relaxed. They know they've been done. Lily, no, she's an exception. She panics a bit. She thinks I'm going to shear her again. She gets a bit worked up, and she's been very, very talkative. And yeah, it was funny. But yeah, so we're partway done, and it's been an interesting process. We found this year we've had a lot more fleece off the animals compared to last year. Generally, their condition seems to be really good. It's very nice. Very pleased when this happens, but it seems to be quite balanced. There's this kind of not as much spread. Last time we had some that were a bit under, some that were a bit over, but generally they seem to be all pretty good, which is really nice. We must be doing something right, maybe, or else it's the weather or the grass or it's just one of those things. But it's good to do the things we can, and so that's we'll carry on trying to nudge things in the right direction. It sort of coincides with where we've been soaking our food. We had a little bit of problem with some of the food. I think the pellets might have changed or something, maybe, perhaps maybe. And there was a few that were kind of choking on it, just slightly long or slightly hard, or they were trying to gulp it down to out of competition with the others. So since we've been soaking the food, it's been interesting. A lot of it's going to be more accessible to them quicker, which is good. Obviously, it's easier to chew. And because it's a bit more expanded, there's more of it. So it's spread out and they don't have to compete for the food because this is the only bit that's left. And everyone's crowding in trying to get that. They're just the quiet that descends when they're eating. It's just really interesting. So they find that seems to be working. Well, we find it's working really well for us, and I'm very pleased that they're not choking as often. Occasionally, because I've forgotten or because of whatever reason, they end up with a bit of dry food, and there's a little bit of coughing and choking going on. Often it's the same ones, but not always. And when we were finding the problem, it was a range of them. It wasn't just the usual suspects. Like Betsy. Betsy's a real, I don't know what it is, but she really regularly, she kind of coughs and chokes and things on the dry food. But she's doing really well with the food that's been soaked. So that's working well. And this morning, it was colder overnight, I think. Open sky. It was sunny, warm. It wasn't cold, but it was colder overnight. And there was a lot of dew on the grass. Wherever they'd been, this morning when I fed them, they were all soaking wet. I'm glad we weren't shearing first thing this morning. So they were definitely damp, and then they were definitely doing some rolling and various things. Some of them, particularly with the fleece, were absolutely filthy. Really, really dark, dirty, damp, dusty, dirty. You know, that kind of thing. But this afternoon, it bright and sunny and a little bit of wind, and hey, all that dirt has gone. Mostly gone into the atmosphere or into the environment. Some of it might have gone down into the fleece, but hopefully a little bit of that. It's really interesting. As we've not been having the visitors come quite so often, the car park has become less used, so vehicles are not driving over the grass. The alpacas have added their fertilizer to the car park, and the grass has gradually spread. Now, it's meant that there's enough of it there now. They do kind of have some good grazing. They spend a lot of time grazing the short stuff and keeping it really short, but they really enjoy that. It must be really tasty. So that's good. And it means there's less gravel visible and available for them to roll in and to have their dust bath. There's still a few little spots. They still get their opportunity, and some will definitely take it. But it's not as dusty and dirty as it has been in past years. And I think that's really helped. When we've been doing the shearing, there's much less vegetation in the fleece, generally, and there's much less grit and dirt and that kind of thing. I think we just might have hit it right. And then today, we haven't had many flies around at all, but today, there was a lot more flies pestering, bothering, and these were the biting ones. So I think it's just that kind of season, enough warmth and enough sunshine and stuff, and the dampness, it just brings them out. So fly spray, the fly repellent type, not the killing type. So that's been out and about, and some really don't like it, but it's good for them, I know. So where I can, and certainly after the shearing, whenever we let them up and just before we let them out, we give them a quick spray with the fly repellent just to protect them a bit from being bothered, since all their their regions are exposed and available to flies. So, but we're moving into that time of year, and that's okay. That's just how it is. But we do what we can to keep them free from irritation. So that's been interesting. But yeah, the volume of fleece has been a surprise. And it'd be interesting that, I mean, some that we've had to use a bigger bag than last year. And that was a surprise because, you know, they got a bit, another year older. And some of the older girls even seem to be producing more fleece. Really good. So very pleased about that. We'll keep noting these things. I think it's really helpful to note these things and probably record them in some way if you can, so that you've got a reference over time. One of the things with alpacas, the breeding seasons, obviously 11-month gestation, that's a long time. And therefore it's not quick to learn the good crosses between the males and females, the good body conformation that can get passed on, the fact that this one always seems to have males, except once in her life, if you had a female. So Amelia, bless her, she always had males prior to that, her last one was a female, Betsan. So, yeah, those kind of things are just useful bits of data. Not immediately necessarily, but they're the kind of thing that it's useful to take into account, to notice things and to recognize that there may be a connection, there may be just coincidence, but there may be a correlation between things and a cause and effect relationship. So it's definitely worth keeping data. Find an easy way to do it. I use my phone a lot. Got a little app on there that I use called Bear, and I use it for all kinds of things. One of my favorite apps on the phone, and I think I probably said before, if I could only have one app on my phone, that would be it. It's extremely good for recording all kinds of text, but you can also get website URLs and pictures and all kinds of things. So I use it quite a lot for recording data about the alpacas. It's easy to just take a quick note. I can do dictation into it, not just writing, because sometimes you've got your gloves on or you've got mucky hands or you need to be getting something, but you can do a quick note and dictate it. So capturing data and doing something with it later is a good way to go. And capturing data that is just a general thing that you can take into account in the long term. It's having the long view about alpacas. I think that's a good way to go because they are so long-lived. So you're looking at 15, 20 years, sometimes 25. And I'm just watching them now in the car park here. There's a whole bunch of them sat down. There's a few crashed out in the sun. They're delighting in the fact that they have no longer got that uncomfortable fleece. So when you go and find them, you discover there's a bunch of them in the sun, and they're the ones that have been sheared already. And there's a bunch of them still seeking out shelter and in the shade. Thank you very much. This is a bit too warm for me. I'm just going to go over here. So that's quite interesting. And we'll get on and do some more tomorrow. The weather's staying fine for us, we think. Possibility of a little bit of dampness in the morning first thing or through the night. So they might be a little bit damp, but yeah. I mean, we've stolen the stable from them because we're doing the shearing. We've actually kind of left the gear, the mats and everything out. So we're not letting them in because they just poo on it everywhere. Oh, dear. So they're also a little bit suspicious because they go, oh, yeah, he's got that orange crate with his gear in again. He's going to come down and do some stuff. So they'll come down for the food, but we'll separate off the ones that need some attention, as in shearing, and we'll get another group done tomorrow. So another day and a half should see us done for the girls, and then we've got the boys to do. Obviously, done at a different time, and we'll have to work out how we do that and how we bring them down and keep them separate enough so they don't fight too much. The boys get a bit excited when we bring them down to the stable because they... Some of them have got memories and they think this is mating time. So they sort of get competitive with each other. So there's a few that we can't trust to leave in the field with the others. We do need to shear them first and then take them back home, back into their field away. And the girls will be tucked away down the far end. Two gates, two fields at least, between the boys and the girls. So it's a little bit of logistics need to be worked through. And... we do that. But yeah, the boys were hot this morning when they were fed. So we just need to crack on and get that done this week as soon as we can, which we will. So shearing tends to have been in my mind as we've been approaching this and getting the preparation, making sure we've got the bags and the labels and all that kind of stuff. What we found actually, you can put sticky labels outside the bag, but we found the best thing is to stick a bit of paper inside. So we've got the name. We've got whether it's first, second or third fleece. It depends on the age of the animals. Often you might have a first and a second, or it might just all go in as one grade. And so in the bag makes it, he's not going to disappear. So just put it in and make sure you, when you close the bag up, to leave it facing upwards, as in you can see it through. So we get our plastic bags. They're quite strong ones. They're quite... Hercules, I think they call them. Not sure they're that strong, but they are strong. They don't tear easily, but they do cope well, and you're able to get enough in there. So they need to be big enough. What are they? 36 by 24 inches. And then we've got some bigger version of that as well, which take the larger volumes and the stuff that can be mixed in together. So... it's worth having those kind of things. Then we've got the smaller bags. I was going to say Ziploc. I don't mean Ziploc. What would they be? They're press anyway. They're seal, resealable bags. And that's where we put the samples. They go in there. And yeah. So anything of note gets noted in the Bear app on my phone. But so far it's been ticking along nicely. Thank you very much. A couple of little things to deal with later once we've got sorted. Few bits of skin sort of thing, waxy stuff on some of them on the back. You can't see it when the fleece is on, but then it's, you know, you take the fleece off and you've got these little sort of waxy plaques and things. So some are a bit rough and scruffy looking on the back, but a bit of rain and a bit of whatever, it'll sort itself out. And for those that need a little bit of extra attention, we'll do some proper washing and treatment of anything that needs treating. So now we can see what's going on, which is very good. Oh, we did. There was a couple of... Oh, who are you? We think you're this one. Let me do a scan. So we do a quick scan. So this is where I put it in. Why can't I find it? And I'm wiping this reader over with the place where the the microchip should be. And I can't find it. It's not there. Has it moved? Has it gone walkies? Sometimes they do. Not often, but it can be happening. So, was it right ear, left ear? What was my system? Which ear is it below? And I tried to, when I was doing them, the crayon, when I was putting the chips in, I always try to be consistent. So, hand's width below the ear, down into the neck, and it's fairly stable there. It doesn't go anywhere. Some people have other views about that, but that's what we do. And then we can find it, and eventually, there was one we just couldn't work out who it was. Exactly. We thought we knew. We thought we were clear. This was Fleur. But, and then we had to do a good old wipe of the that stuff. And then when we did another one, I thought, well, this definitely is so-and-so. No, we weren't absolutely sure. So we couldn't get the reading before we had it tied down, but there it was. Found it. But she had a lot of fleece on her neck, so I think it was just, that was part of the issue, part of the problem. So we've identified it. So it's good to keep these records of what's arrived for, in terms of the fleece, and so you know which fleece is which bag. You don't have to, and it may not be something that's particularly helpful for you, but we find it useful. And so I offer that as a suggestion, that you keep your data for each animal as much as you can. Anything you have to treat, you know, where there's a problem with a bit of a limp, or there's a problem with whatever, then you've got an ongoing record. You know, this is a problem and happens this time of year, each year, and then you're aware, you're ahead of it. Or this is an issue with the offspring of this particular dam. So that's easy to kind of start to see the links. But it takes time. Keep your records and look over the long term. So that's what we're up to. I'm not sure when they arrived. The swans are back, cruising around. There's a bit of fighting between the sorting them out, but they've got an understanding, I think, now. And there's it's a bit like career watch, except I'm doing it with the geese. I'm watching the one that sat on the nest on the end of the finger there. She's getting off the nest a bit. I'm just picking up signs. Oh, do you know, there was a thing in today. What was it? Oh, it was a herring gull, big herring gull, trying to come in, trying to land, and it got chased off by, first of all, I'm not sure whether it was the crows or the ravens came steaming in from the, they started shouting, and they came steaming in from there, straight after this thing, made it move off from, it was trying to come in, and it moved over to a different part of the lake. It was, again, curled its wings and was just dropping onto the water. But it was over near where the goose was. And the goose was off the bank and straight after this thing. And so it went round and round, and then it came to the point where it was, it had been chased enough. It was deciding it didn't really want to stay. So it left, which is probably just as well. I think it was on the hunt. It knew that these little geese would be arriving soon, and it was after the gosling if it could sneak in and pinch them. Yeah. So there we go. If you can, go spend some time with your alpacas, whether you're shearing or not. And take care. Bye for now.
This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.